Jesus is the only way to have peace with God. Though there is only one way to God, everyone's journey to Jesus is unique and magnificent. Here is a story of one's journey to Christ, now on Redemption Report. Welcome back to the Redemption Report podcast. Today I have a friend that I've known from church, and he's actually said he's the first time on a podcast, but he's no stranger to the microphone. I have my friend Jason here. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Now, the reason I said you're no stranger to the microphone, because you hold the microphone several times throughout the week doing stand-up comedy. Is that right?
I do. It is something that I've come to love over the past year, just started doing it within the last year, and I'm obsessed with it. It's a lot of fun. It's hard, but it's fun.
How did you get interested in that? Have you always been like a class clown or telling jokes, or was it something that you had a reason why you wanted to pursue it?
I've always liked making people laugh, and this is a question that is so hard to answer sometimes, like, why do you do this? But I love laughter, like, for anyone, like, just makes me so joyful, like, hearing something, whether it's something I said, like, laughing's good for the soul. So it's something I've always loved doing, but I've always been terrified of standing behind a microphone, because I feel like maybe I'm naturally goofy, or like, yeah, my friends say that I'm funny, but like, if I do this behind a mic and I'm doing it intentionally, like, I'm gonna bomb, which is inevitable anyway.
Par for the course, yeah.
But I finally just last year, like, had encouragement from friends that you should try this, and I did it. I went up behind a mic at a comedy club locally called Go Bananas. They have a pro-am mic every Wednesday, and that was the first time I ever stood behind a microphone and told jokes.
Was it just 1 year ago? I thought you'd been doing a couple of years.
No,
okay,
wow. Almost 1 year.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, been hooked ever since, and now I'm like, why didn't I do this so many years ago? I don't know, fear of rejection, that's a part of me. I've always been, like, scared of rejection, so, like, whether it's, like, in relationships or just people in general, like, I want people to like me, and I was like, I don't think I'm that funny, so, but I tried it, and I don't think I'm that funny, but I tried anyways.
So how frequently are you telling jokes, and how long are your normal sets?
The average set's about 5 minutes. So at any open mic, for the most part, you get 5 minutes to tell your jokes, to tell your set. And at 4 minutes, you'll get a light saying, hey, you got a minute left, like, wrap it up. So that's normal, par for the course, normal thing to do. And I have a couple different 5 minute sets in my mind, but I'm typically doing an open mic. I would say it used to be, when I first started, I was like really hooked on the bug, if you will, and would be at an open mic every night of the week, and then at comedy clubs every weekend, like just going to shows and learning from other people and just being involved in the scene. And I think I still do that part. Like, I'm still probably a Friday to Saturday night, you'll catch me at a comedy club most likely. And I probably hit 1 to 3 open mics a week, or try to.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that keeps it going. And I imagine from hearing other comedians' stories or to how they talk, is it really changes your perspective. Like, you know, there's so many people that just kind of go through life with kind of blinders on, or just kind of like zoning out, getting from one thing to the next. And I would imagine for a comedian, especially one like you've told me before, you talk about what you go through in life. Yeah. You have to take those blinders off, and it probably makes you much more aware of your surroundings and what's going on.
Yes. Yeah, you become aware of a lot of stuff. And the comedy scene's really cool. Cincinnati's comedy scene's very interesting, very supportive at the same time. So it's been cool to be a new comic and just kind of been welcomed into, like, this new kind of friend group. But it's also very tough. I mean, comedy is, they say trauma is the best, like, medicine, or not medicine, but like the best thing for comedy, like, because you just kind of talk about something that's inevitably impacted your life, and so you hear a lot of crazy stuff that people have gone through, and it can be kind of dark, but it's kind of, I don't think I'm here by an accident. Like, I think it's there's a purpose behind it for sure, but it's been really cool to meet new people and just kind of see everybody's different walks of life.
Well, I don't know your specific story that you're going to tell today, so maybe we're going to get into some of that trauma you're talking about here.
It's been a super traumatic life for me, but
Well, tell me How are you raised? Kind of, are you raised in the Cincinnati area or where?
So I was actually born in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
So I'm a Tennessee boy originally. But my dad growing up worked for the Kroger corporate.
Oh, yeah.
And then moved on to other sales position at a company in Cincinnati.
So that moved him up here to Cincinnati.
So he lived up here part-time to start this job.
Okay.
And then he was away a lot. And eventually, when I was 7 years old, we moved to Union, Kentucky.
Okay.
Just, 20 miles south of Cincinnati.
Right.
And that's where I grew up, really.
Okay.
From second grade to graduating high school. And then I lived in, went to UK. I grew up in a really, really loving and supportive home. My parents are still married. They've been married for 47 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's been a really cool thing to grow up in a home where you kind of see like love happen. And they were really supportive in showing like how important church was. Like I grew up in a Christian home, or a very church going home as well.
Okay.
Like I knew that from the get go, like church was pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always kind of there, if you will. I don't really remember much of it when I lived in Nashville, but, when we moved up here, we got involved in a church, Florence Baptist Church. That was where I grew up in youth group and everything like that. And I remember going to like Awanas and things like that, and
mm-hmm.
like being encouraged to like study the Bible and memory verses and getting badges, kind of like Boy Scouts. I'm sure you
I did
remember.
The whole way through, yeah, all the way up. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that Florence Baptist, that's one of the, if not the largest Baptist church in this area. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's huge now. It used to be, when we first started, it used to be on Main Street in Florence.
Okay.
I've seen
that old building. Yep. Yeah.
So, and now it's just smack dab off of Mount Zion. You can't miss it. So.
Yeah. It's one of the few churches still that has a big steeple that you can point to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right there for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up. Yeah.
So you heard about Christ, early on in life.
Mm-hmm.
Did you comprehend the gospel at an early age, or when did it first time that kind of start to like make sense? Not necessarily when you believe the first time, but just like when did it kind of make sense that it was for you?
So that's a tough. So I heard the gospel. Like I said, I was in Awanas. We were always in church. When you move into like and join a new Baptist church, it's like I feel like sometimes encouraged if you haven't been baptized yet to get baptized. And I think like my family, when we moved in, like they got back. I don't remember. It's so long ago, but I remember at an early age, like I heard about Jesus. I heard about what the gospel was, what he did for us on the cross, and like heaven and hell. And mm-hmm. I knew that I didn't want to go to hell. So I remember hearing about it, but I don't remember like being changed by Jesus, if you will, or having like a legitimate relationship with him for a longer time after that, for a little over a decade. For I would say like when I first heard about him was when I was 8 or something like that, and heard about Jesus. And I did get baptized when I was 7 or 8 because mm-hmm. In Awanas, that's what I did. But I don't remember like my life actually changing for another decade.
Yeah. So in that 10 years, and again, no, shame or,
absolutely.
Pressure being put on you. But do you know, kind of, if you can think back, what was the reason behind you not believing in that 10-year period or so?
I think we were, like I said, we were a very church-going family, and I was always there on Wednesdays, whether and from Awana to then youth group, being in a student ministry and doing stuff on Sundays and going to church camp in the summer. Like, there's a big thing, and it's funny because I've worked camps like post-college and stuff like that, or during college, like as a I did videography for a summer camp, a Christian summer camp, and I can remember like times where I rededicated my life almost every summer because it was that last night of camp, and it was emotional, and everyone was like feeling the spirit, if you will. But that whole time, I'm like, I don't think I actually truly knew who Jesus was, and I don't think it was like I had any, I wasn't actively running away from him, but there was always something else that I think I was chasing. Like, I always wanted to be like one of the popular kids, and I always wanted to be like fitting in with the crowd. And, I think that that was more important to me. I did come off of this facade and tell, you know, say that I was a Christian because I went to church. But I thought that that's like, that was all I needed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think just for that 10 years, I kind of like lived this like almost double life. Now, I wasn't like this like heathen where I was doing all these crazy stuff, but I knew that like there was something else important to me, more important to me than walking with Jesus.
Yeah.
So.
When you already kind of addressed, you know, what I imagine is a lifelong struggle, because I know it's a lifelong struggle for me, is that, you know, desire to be accepted or to please people.
Right.
And I would imagine, you know, a lot of kids want to be accepted or pleased. And if that's what your family's doing, it's easy to be like, I subscribe to that, without actually necessarily always penetrating your heart or being like, okay, with all the distractions gone, you know, is this what I truly want to follow, or is there something else? And I would imagine if acceptance played a role in it, it would have made that a little more challenging to kind of fully commit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah. So I was always looking for acceptance, and that was a key thing for me. Now, granted, I did find acceptance in a youth group and things like that. And I did enjoy being a part of that, but there was still something I felt like was missing. And that whole time, I didn't realize that thing was missing was actually God. Like, it was actually Jesus that I didn't have, or I was longing for, but it took a while for me to finally realize, like, hey, this is what you need.
Yeah. A lot of people enjoy many of the benefits that come with being a Christian or being a follower of God without actually having that final step, which unlocks all the potential there. So yeah, that totally makes sense.
Absolutely.
So I'm guessing if we do the math from 8 years old, 10 years, so that's 18. What occurred around 18 years old or so that, you know, was highlights in your story?
I would say there was some struggle with like finding a youth minister kind of in my middle school and early high school or years, late middle school, early high school years. We had a youth minister, and then he moved on to something else, and then we just like couldn't find one necessarily to stick. And then eventually, who's now the pastor of our church, Redemption, but Ben Brown stepped up and became like our youth pastor, our student minister, whatever you want to call it. And he, you know, his family had been a part of the church for a long time. I'd grown up with him and his brothers, and you know, this person's meant a lot to me. And then he's now like the person like leading everything. And that's where he like really started developing relationships with me and like some of my close friends. And I would say, going into, we're in my junior year. Junior year was pretty dark for me as a person. Just, I was depressed. I had like a girl, I had a serious girlfriend my sophomore year, I think, that broke up with me, and she was like, became my God, if you will.
Because very easy I had,
like,
to do.
Yeah. Because I'd never had like a serious relationship, and I did. And then when that left, I was like, oh, I hate everything. Like, I'd have nothing anymore. And so I kind of went down this like path where I was still kind of like living, like I was at church on Wednesdays and Sundays, and I was being a facade of this like good kid. And I can remember my mom always saying like, oh, I practiced so-and-so at work to you, but like being just a good Christian. And my mom, like, she doesn't know like these like deep down like thoughts of hate that I have towards people and just kind of darkness that I was dealing with.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, my going into my, I guess it was the summer of my junior year, pretty known in the church, known that I would, you know, if there was a mission trip or a camp trip or youth trip or something, like, I would be a part of that. And that year I did not go on the trip. They went to, it was like, I don't know if it was called World Changers or what, but they went to Savannah, Georgia for a mission trip. And I had gotten involved in Young Life. And instead of going there, I went to Young Life camp. And that was like kind of like a different thing. Like my closest friends went on this the mission trip with Florence, and then I didn't because I wanted to like have fun and not go on like a mission trip for my summer. And that's where like I saw God change my closest friends, who brought them out of a shell, who wouldn't talk to other people if they didn't really know them. And then now they're leading Bible studies with complete strangers. And their life is like just their whole almost anatomy, it seemed like changed, like the way that they lived their lives. And I started seeing that. And I was like, okay, like I knew about God. I've known about God my whole life, but I've kind of just kind of pushed him off to the side and lived for Jason. And now I see like actual life change happening through my friends, and knowing that like I've been longing for that same life change, but at the same time, like Ben had always been meeting with us or encouraged to meet with us, and not giving up on us as like a group of friends. Like he truly sought out, mm-hmm. To give us advice or to minister to us, to lead us. And eventually I realized that this person that, or this thing I was longing for the entire time was actually Jesus. Like I saw him change my friend's life, and, yeah. Decided like, no, this is what I've been looking for all along. And he changed my life that summer, going into my senior year of high school, which was like, in my mind, like I said, I was going through this like kind of dark phase. I was like, senior year of high school is going to, I'm going to do all this. I'm going to get all these girls. I'm going to get ready for college. I'm going to be on my own. I'm going to do whatever I want. And God's like, no, I've got a different plan. We're going to change that. And senior year became something of like, Jesus came and impacted my life. And I came in senior year just like with a different attitude towards life. And
so in between your junior senior year, that summer,
that
gotcha.
Summer,
wow.
Yeah.
So do you remember any of the specific circumstances that led to that, or was there a conversation or a—
I did have, you know, conversations with friends, and I'm pretty sure I had conversations with Ben and
okay.
and things like that, but I remember specifically just being depressed and kind of at my wit's end with just my situation of what I was going through. And I remember not being able to sleep for several mm-hmm. nights and just kind of wrestling with God, I guess, and decided
that could be
like,
miserable in the middle yeah. of the summer with it being so hot
yes.
and not being able to sleep.
Yeah. But I can remember, deciding like, no, Jesus, like I do need you. This is something I've known about for a while, but haven't actively been walking with. And I decided just there, like, okay, I'm going to give my life to you. And just kind of peace happened. I don't know that I was then able to sleep, if you will, but, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember the specific yeah. date. I just remember.
No, that's
yeah.
fine. That's cool. It's almost like you had a wrestling match, much like Jacob in the Bible,
yeah.
where,
yeah.
you know, you're trying to figure out and then finally just, you know, he submitted to
yeah.
God, and he was able to bring peace. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's cool how Jesus talks about he gives his children rest.
Yeah.
And that was able to be experienced that night.
Yeah, and I can remember it was really cool. Like senior year, we would meet at, I forget if it was like Monday or Tuesdays, but we would meet at Waffle House and on the Ridgewood exit at like 6:45 in the morning. And me and Ben and a couple other people that you might know, like Matt,
mm-hmm.
And some other people would meet there and just go through, I think it was like Purpose Driven Life. We would mm-hmm. go through like a book, but like, Ben, yeah, I was very impacted and mentored by Ben Brown, and just, yeah, God used him in a lot of ways. And going my senior year of high school, and then going into college. Yeah. Went on my first like mission trip. We went to Slovakia, which was really cool going into my, that would be the next summer. Had an opportunity.
Was that your first overseas trip, or because you said you'd been on missions or different?
We had gone, yeah, in church, we'd gone, like, I remember, I forget what year, but it was over the summer. We went to, like, there's a prison somewhere in eastern Kentucky,
okay.
I think.
But that was, like, maybe the first overseas trip.
Yeah,
that
this
you
was
take.
Overseas,
okay.
but
okay.
actively, like, also, I can remember, like, being my first mission trip where, like, I was, like, on mission. You know what I mean?
I
like,
see. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
But I also went to Navajo Nation, New Mexico, mm-hmm. with our church. It was like a back-to-back. Like, 1 week I went to Navajo Nation, and I think the next week we were in Austria. I think that was the
just a slightly different
timeline.
Culture.
Yeah. Yeah, very different culture. But it was so cool to see. I can remember that we flew into Austria, and then we drove 6 hours on an air-conditioned bus with another church from Mississippi. And I'm just like, never, this is like kind of doesn't really matter to the story, but I just remember like a bunch of these, like some newly found Christians, and we're just going to talk to Roma people. I don't know if you've heard of the Roma people, but they're kind of an attacked people group, or because they they steal stuff to survive, but they're just not light. They have darker skin than your regular Slovakian. They kind of move around a lot. But they were even, I'm trying to remember. I remember that they were, we went specifically to this village in Slovakia to hang out with Roma people and let them know, like, people do love you. Yeah. And Jesus loved you, more importantly. And I played soccer with, like, it's crazy. You meet people, you can't even speak the same language as them, but you're just over a sport in, like, vacation Bible school.
Yeah.
You become, like, friends. Mm-hmm. And then, so that was a really cool experience, to see, just firsthand what God can do and how Jesus changed our lives and stuff like that. And just how he starts changing the lives of people all the way across the world. So,
yeah. Well, that's cool. I like how you highlighted how that change started, where, you know, loving others became a thing that you don't just do because it's the church thing to do, because it's a desire that was, and that obviously was evidenced in, you know, traveling across the country and then across the world to do that.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. What would you say changed, you know, that either during that senior year or since then, what changes have you seen as a result where if you hadn't followed Christ, you wouldn't have necessarily experienced that change?
I'm convinced that if I hadn't started following Jesus, like, I wouldn't be sitting in this seat right now. There's been, like, I wouldn't necessarily say, like, suicidal experiences that I've had. I mean, I've definitely have, and I still struggle with depression. Like, it's just a big thing in my family, but in life in general, depression is real. But there's also been, like, physical, like, accidents that I've been in that I should not have walked away from. And I think that that's, like, it has to be an intervention from Jesus himself, or God himself, because, like, there's, I mean, even a few years ago, like, I obliterated a car with my body because I, like, ran into it on a longboard, and, like, I just walked away from that. I mean, I did call the ambulance, but just, like, things like that, like, my head went through the back window of this car. Wasn't wearing a helmet or anything. It was, that's a whole different thing that, that it was just the events of that weekend were nuts. But, like, I just noticed that changes in my heart had have happened, and I had experienced things that I it's tough to explain sometimes, but you see the love of people for the first time. You see how this community of believers comes together. I don't know. I think I'm trailing. I don't even remember.
No, you're good. You're good. I mean, to your point, I think God does take care of his own.
Yeah.
I don't know that he necessarily gives us spiritual superpowers or things that,
right, no.
Like, if you're listening to this, don't go crash into cars.
Yeah, I would not advise that. It was,
but it is cool that you're able to point to God and be like, hey, he's taking care of me. Or, you know, I think we already highlighted, but that love for people that, you know, in the past you were more focused on yourself or trying to get people to like you. And now it's like, hey, now I want people to love my Savior. Look what he's done in my life. And even being on this podcast is part of doing that.
Again, thank you for having me on. This is really cool.
Yeah.
It's weird because it's something that following Jesus is a roller coaster. And I think that you go through pits of despair sometimes. That sounds really weird to say, but just, I don't know. I would say recently, life hasn't been the easiest, and I feel like we're still human and sinners, and I think that our tendency is to kind of go back to our human self and try to figure it out on our own. And I think you realize in that moment of how, if you do try to do stuff on your own, how lonely you really are. Because Jesus has done so much. Like, Jesus died on the cross for us. Jesus conquered death for us. Like, God has given us something, and it's right there, and he's always, his hands are right there, open for you. And it's crazy to try to do stuff on your own, because I feel like I've done that a lot recently, and it's amazing how easily you realize how much you come up empty. And it's, I don't know, I'm encouraged, again, weekly by people, to keep following Jesus, and it's, yeah, it's a struggle sometimes still. It's crazy. Well,
lean into that just a little bit. What is, like, if you could be specific, like, what's one struggle you've noticed that as a result of following God, I struggle, or this is a challenge, like, to, you know, present a true picture of what life is like as a believer?
Yeah, I think just in general, like, in work, life balance, but even in comedy, like comedy's, like I said, can be a pretty dark place, and it's a perfect place to like show people like, hey, there is something better. Like it's crazy to see how like dark the scene can be, and you know, like what can make this lighter. Like there is a hope, and it's, you see a lot of hopelessness. And I think sometimes recently it's easy to get impacted by that hopelessness, even though you know where the hope comes from.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of things that I've realized recently is like, the way that I try to set myself apart from comics, in general is, I do clean comedy, just cause I want to do comedy that my mom can listen to, or my nieces and nephews, even though not a lot of them relate to like dating stories or stuff like that. Yeah. But,
you probably don't want to feel guilty after telling a bunch of jokes. Yeah. Either, do you?
No, it's like, yeah. But, I think people know that I'm a Christian in the comedy scene. Even though I'm not actively every day saying it or trying, I feel like God has opened doors to build relationships with people. And I think something is hard, like not holding me back, but it's tough to like walk through those open doors and have conversations. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful for it though. But I think that's the toughest part right now is, do I look different? And is the reason why I'm different because I'm just a clean comic, or like, why do I do what I do? So it's capitalizing on those opportunities to have conversations rather than just like living in the moment. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I feel like I hang out a lot, and that's good. Like I'm with a lot of the comics a lot of times, but, where you hang out is, where do you do comedy? You do them in bars. You do them in, and that's a whole other thing too.
Late at night.
You're at this dive bar in Dayton, Kentucky, or Cincinnati, Ohio. So it's like, not necessarily doing those things or going to those places is bad, but it's just like, you need to capitalize. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you there in the first place? And I think that I haven't been.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, I mean, again, not an opportunity to make you feel guilty or anything.
No, you're
good. But it is encouraging. Like, you are seeking to shine a light in an area that many people don't have light. Like you said, there's a lot of darkness there. You know, you were talking about earlier the trauma that's often associated with comedy. Yeah. I've heard people say, like, you can't be a comedian unless you've gone through some type of trauma, or like it's just a bunch of messed up people, you know, working through their own garbage. But it reminds me of when I first moved out here to Kentucky. I struggled to find a job, and finally when I did find a job, it was at FedEx, where I still work. But the first job I had with FedEx, working overnight, and working overnight, you know, 12-hour days, going at like 10 p.m., getting out 10 a.m., and then you're in trailers. But what I noticed is often they would put you in one trailer with one other person.
Yeah.
And for that 20 to 45 minutes that it took to load that trailer, you would be with that one person. And you could just be quiet and, you know, be sweltering. I mean, it was the summer, you know, have fans blowing to try and, you know, at least alleviate a little bit of it. But you know, you're just hot and sitting, there's not like you can, there's so much noise from the building. You can't, not like you're listening to music or anything, but you could, it was kind of quiet towards the back and you could kind of start talking. And I realized that if I wasn't there, who was going to be that light? Not that I was the only light, but I also worked there, you know, for around a year, and I didn't really encounter any other believers to my recollection, maybe one other one, but it was like, okay, here is a place for me to shine a light, literally in a dark area, you know, back in those trailers. But I imagine the same for you, where, you know, we're not as believers supposed to be shying away from difficult conversations or difficult things. And, you know, there's definitely a need for the light of truth and the gospel in those areas. And so, you know, I think I appreciate your ability to be real and say, yeah, this is a struggle, but I'm glad it's one that God has positioned you well to do, that you are working, you're not just casually doing it and be like, yeah, I'm just here to hang out. Like, you're trying to improve your craft. And I think people will recognize that, but you know, that's part of that seeking after God with your whole heart and trying to be in the world, just not of it. And, you know, that's evidenced by your desire to do clean comedy.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so funny. Like, I was put on a show in November, and I'm at a comedy club, and I'm excited about it. I get, you know, two sets, and they're 7 minutes. It's exciting stuff. But the person who booked me is like, hey, can you send me just a quick bio? And I'm like, I don't want to be like, I'm a clean comedian. Like, I just feel like it's like, there's so much way to different ways to say it. So I've been saying like, I do clean comedy, but that's like not something you want to put like in your bio. So you have to like, I had to like have AI help me and like some other friends, to like help me like specifically.
Who did better, AI or the friends with the,
it was a mixture of both, okay, but okay. I think that my bio came out pretty funny. Okay. And good.
Well, that's like good. If it's a comedian doc
relating to people and stuff like that. I don't know, but it's so funny. Yeah, it's, God's opened some doors and it's been really cool. And, I'm hopeful that I'm going to walk through those doors and use that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Something else that I've noticed that I've been kind of convicted of, it's, you realize like how much when you don't spend time with Jesus, it's you realize how easy it is to kind of like feel far away from him. So yeah. Like, I know that the importance of walking with Jesus is like having conversations with him, whether it's through praying or walking through him and through the word and stuff like that. And I realized a lot recently, like, I've not been in the word as much as I need to be, almost at all sometimes. And you realize like how dark life can get when you're not surrounded by that light mm-hmm. yourself. And that's something else that I've been kind of convicted of recently. And I was like, man, how much easier would it be to walk with Jesus when you're walking with Jesus, obviously, like in your own personal life.
Yeah. So
that's a big thing that has come up and some convictions I've had recently is like, man, I need to spend time with my Savior.
Yeah.
So it's,
and I like that important. You're seeing the reason behind it, not just I feel guilty because I'm not doing this thing that I know I'm supposed to do, but like, oh, I see that there's a deficiency here, and I know how to get back to that place of mm-hmm. of connection, but this is why I'm experiencing this.
Yeah
So you've already kind of referenced one of the joys that you've experienced, the community that you've had with, you know, your pastor and with different friends and that community that you kind of grew up in high school and have been able to continue on with. Would you say that's kind of your biggest joy since following Christ, or is there something else that you'd want to highlight as a big joy as a result of being God's child?
Getting to experience Jesus with people that you're really close to is awesome. So getting to go on those mission trips have been a huge joy in my life. But now to even see like, family members, like I don't have any kids of my own. I'm not married or anything, but I do have 8 nieces and nephews, and I'm starting to see some of them walk through Jesus, and it's, they're raised in some amazing homes. Like my sisters and brother-in-laws are amazing people, and it's cool to see, like, as a Christian now, like seeing them walk walk with Jesus and starting to follow him, some of them. And it was so cool. I don't know. This is, my sister sent a video of my youngest nephew. I have twin nephews. They were walking in the woods and he was singing a worship song, and it just like kind of melted my heart. And one of my my nieces that lives here, we were driving in the car one day, and we were just like, I was doing like an uncle. Niece took her out for her birthday or something. We were driving back and we were playing, I believe it was the song Promises. I'm blanking on the band all of a sudden, but
I don't know if I know that one.
It's so, oh my gosh. Anyways, she's got an incredible voice. So like just hearing her like sing to Jesus was like, and just worship Jesus in the back of my car was like kind of melting my heart a little bit. And
yeah,
I don't know. You see joys like that too. But just being able to see Jesus work in other people that you love has been a big joy too. And then seeing some of my closest friends of how we've all changed in the last decade, and because we started kind of walking with Jesus around the same time, and kind of see where they are now and how God's using them too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Well, what would be the one big takeaway that someone listening to this, you'd say, after hearing my story, mm-hmm. I want to leave you with this, or this is what I hope you take from it?
I'm a perfectionist, and I feel like I don't even know. I've like a
whatever comes to mind.
Like
yeah.
Last hour, no. But what my big takeaway is that you're never too far from Jesus to start walking with Jesus. Mm-hmm. There was a song by a guy, just a God loving man. This dude loves Jesus. His name's Kurt Vernon. He's a musician. But also I think he's a pastor at a church right now too. But he like led, he used to write music, and it was just like some amazing, but there's a song, called Rebel Bride. And there's a lyric from it says that if I made my bed in hell, you'd come stay the night. It matters not how far I run. I still find you by my side. Mm. Like, so like, no matter how far you are, you think you are from Jesus, like he's not far. He's there. Mm-hmm. He's always going to be there. And there's an open invite to just to come to him. And I know that, I'm impacted a lot by music, but you think like I'm too dirty or I'm too messed up to be clean or to be with Jesus. And that's not the case. So there's hope.
That's cool. I've not heard that song, but I'll have to look that up after, hearing this episode and everything. So
absolutely.
I think that messaging is definitely important for people, you know, whether it be in the past or today or in the future, mm-hmm. that, you know, God desperately loves you and desires to have a relationship with you. So, you know, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who opens at me, I will come in and, you know, be with them, like sup mm-hmm. with them, like have this really special, like, togetherness mm-hmm. time. And I recently heard that picture that's kind of famous. I think my grandmother had it hanging in her house of Jesus knocking on the door.
Oh.
But I never realized that there's no handle on that side of the door that Jesus. I mean, I have to go back and look, but I recently heard that, and I was like, that makes so much more sense. That, you know, it's not like Jesus could open the door. I mean, he has made it a way where we have to believe him. And of course, anyone who's involved in reformed theology or things are going to be jumping on the minutia, but ultimately, like, it does teach in scripture that we have to, you know, believe in Jesus. And so that's a great way to leave it here, is, you know, don't run, don't feel like you're too far away. He loves you.
So. Yeah.
Well, Jason, if someone wanted to follow you or find you, not for stalker purposes, but for comedian purposes, do you have any type of information you'd want to put out there to highlight?
My name's Jason Winkler. I haven't really been posting a lot of stuff on, like, YouTube or anything like that. I do have an Instagram. It's interesting. My Instagram handle is my name backwards.
Okay.
which maybe I should change that just because for easiness sake. But it's like literally my last name backwards and then my first name. It's like sounds Russian.
So
when you
last
say
name
it.
Is Winkler with an L.
So it's Relk New No Sag. I don't. If you want to edit this video, you can just write it. It's easier to like
put
throw
it. I'll
it
put
on
it on screen
if you want. But yeah, I mean, that's my Instagram. I post some. A lot of stuff is in my story. I'll share, you know, events that I'm a part of as far as comedy goes, and I might share a clip here and there about some jokes that I have. But
cool. Do you have any upcoming shows? I mean, this is more than likely air the beginning of September, but.
I don't have the flyer on it yet, but I was just asked to be a part of a showcase in Lexington, Kentucky on the 12th, which I'm really excited about.
Okay.
I don't really have anything.
You have that show in November, you said?
I do have a few shows in November. Okay. I'm doing a theater opening for another comic, and he's in Lexington is where he lives, but he's from Cynthiana, Kentucky.
Yeah.
His name's
Todd
Probus, but he sells out he does a show at a theater every year in Cynthiana, and he asked me to open for him. So
look at you. You're an opener.
Theater.
One year in.
and then, that next show is at, it's called Bombs Away Comedy. It's a comedy club. It's at the Comet in Northside, Cincinnati. Those are in November. I don't know the specific dates,
Okay.
But yeah, If I'm booked on anything before then, like, it's always on the social media.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it'll be up on the screen for people to at least find the Instagram, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing how God redeemed you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. This was really cool.
Yeah. In his story today, Jason spoke to the opportunity he has been given to be a light to those around him as a comedian. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." God has placed Jason in a unique arena to be a light to the comedy scene, a place where there is not a lot of light. Consider today what areas of your life God has strategically placed you to reflect the light of his gospel onto. This brings us to the end of episode number 36. Before you leave, make sure you like this video, leave a comment, and rate this podcast if you're listening to the audio version. My contact is available at twareproductions.com, as well as more content, including previous episodes. We'll see you on the next episode of Redemption Report.